Knives, hand cannons, boomerangs, slings.
We can handle those.
Ryan patted his pockets to make sure he knew exactly where everything was.
Okay, let's go.
Ah, broiled crab for dinner. I can taste it already.
Going around the barricade, Ryan tested the slope while keeping a hand on the concrete for support. The ground was rough and his boots didn't slip, no matter how hard he tried. The rock was as rough as sandpaper. Finally letting go of the barricade, he advanced a few steps, staring intently down the slope.
Bottom is only a few yards away. Single file, 1 yard spread.
JB was the first. The armorer was a ghost in the darkness, but some pebbles came loose, bounding down ahead of the man. He froze motionless. Ryan mentally cursed the noise and braced for an attack. Across the expanse, some blobs of light started coming their way, but then sheared off to the right. Soon there came the sounds of a struggle, followed by a crunching noise and a brief but high-pitched squeal of pain. Something had just been aced. Moving more carefully, the rest of the companions reached the bottom and took cover behind some stalagmites and boulders. Moving from rock to rock, they zigzagged across the floor of the cavern, trying to stay behind cover. Most of the stalagmites rose 100 feet tall, maybe more, the tops far beyond the weak illumination of the cavern walls. But a few were only inches high, mere toothpicks rising from the damp floor. They were very careful not to step on any and snap them off. Examining the side of the cavern, Ryan saw the rock was covered with a silvery moss that gave off a weak shine. Suspiciously, the man held a rad counter near the fungi. Instantly, the device changed its soft musical hum to angry clicks as he got within a few inches.
Wall moss is rad poisoned. Don't touch any.
The collection of boulders soon stopped, and there was only open space stretching from the rocky forest to the stone wall. The top twinkled like starshine, razor-sharp chunks of crystal lining the barrier like military barbed wire.
What the nuking hell? It's only a yard or so high. Can't be more than 4 feet max.
Could be a trip line, or a marker for the archers.
Ryan admitted both were possible, only there wasn't a higher fence beyond the low one, just some huts. Studying the ville carefully, he suddenly understood that the huts weren't larger than the wall, but located on top of rocky mounds. No, piles of brick, and the doors were no more than a yard tall.
Muti runs. Good. Easy picking.
Bullshit. Pygmies are fierce warriors. They have to be or else they don't survive. In Africa, there were little natives deadly accurate with blowpipes and poisoned needles. They could chill a man on the run at 100 feet. Small doesn't mean weak.
Mildred wiped a sweaty hand on her pants. She had to keep a good grip on the crossbow. The thing would have a worse recoil than a shotgun. In the center of the ville was a bubbling spring, the air rich in the smells of boiled meat and something else. A hoist of odd bits of metal and some wood hung over the spring, metal chains dangling out of sight in the water. The hot spring was their cooking pot.
Not bad. They're not mindless muties, like stickies.
Which makes them 10 times more dangerous.
Ryan then stopped talking. A low singing came from a large squat building with star-shaped windows.
That looks like their temple. Maybe we caught them on Sunday services.
Odd windows. Worship sky, maybe?
It's probably been a long time since they last saw the stars, if ever.
Raising an open hand for silence, Ryan listened carefully. He could hear voices from most of the buildings to their right. Sounded like dozens of villagers, maybe more. But to their left, they could hear only faint animal grunts. Ryan started creeping forward through the shadows.
Head for the barnyard. There's too many locals to chance a raid. Runts or not, 100 can easily kill 5.
Staying in the boulders, the companion started toward the left when a horrible smell began to infuse the atmosphere. The stink was easily identifiable as raw sewage, and soon they found themselves ankle-deep in a gooey field dotted with tiny white sprouts, then grayish balls, and finally huge mushrooms, almost a foot high.
Dinner!
Jack grinned, stuffing mushrooms into his shirt. A few of the smaller sprouts went directly into his mouth. 2 chews and he swallowed. The flavor was a bit salty, but tasted wonderful. Mildred plucked a mushroom and inspected it closely.
These are okay to eat.
She greedily stuffed it whole into her mouth. Even raw, it was wonderful.
Mmm,
J.B. mumbled around a mouthful, harvesting handfuls and stuffing them into his carpet bag with the Molotov cocktails. Trying one himself, Ryan grunted his agreement and started yanking up the largest mushrooms. Ripping off the dirty stalks, he slid just the clean tops into his pants. After boot soup, damn near anything would taste great. Filling the pockets of his frock coat, Doc smiled.
Hunger is the best sauce, my friend.
Fucking A.
After taking as much as they could comfortably carry, the companions continued toward the farm. Mushrooms were good, but you couldn't live off them. Damn near no vitamins at all in the tasty fungus. Reaching a spot near the low wall, one by one the companions darted out of hiding and raced across the open field of stone. The jagged crystal bits sparkled dangerously on top of the wall, but they easily jumped over and resumed positions in the shadows at the base. When they were all inside, Ryan led the way along the wall, the companion staying low where the darkness was thick. It occurred to Mildred that these might be shadows to them, but brightly lit areas to the runts. But before she could communicate the idea, Ryan called a halt as they reached a ring of small stalagmites rising close to one another. Inside the stony picket fence was a breathing sea of hairy bodies, naked pink tails whipping about as the sleeping hordes squeaked and rubbed comfortably against their fat neighbors.
We were right. This is a ranch. Just common rats. No signs of the big crabs.
Mayhap the wall is for the crabs. To keep out the predators. I used to live on a farm, and there was no greater cursed thief than a fox stealing a chicken.
Good. Then rat's lazy.
Jack eagerly moved past both of the men. Going to the fence, the teenager darted out a hand and grabbed a rat, slitting its throat with a knife. The rodent barely squeaked before it died. Stuffing the body into a carpet bag slung over his shoulder, the teenager proceeded to catch and kill as many as he could before the fat, sleepy rats got wise and moved away from his lethal hands.
16. Fresh meat tonight.
With those words, the companions went motionless as something walked from the shadows. It was a runt. Wearing a loincloth and soft boots covered with fringe, the mutie stood barely 3 feet tall. His skin was white to the point of being transparent, and blue veins were clearly discernible. His hands possessed elongated fingers, and both of his oversized eyes were a pale pink in color. Long black hair was tied with leather thongs on top of his head in two bushy tufts. Pausing at the stalagmite fence, the runt sniffed the air for a moment, a three-fingered hand drawing a crystal dagger from a ratskin sheath. Then, moving even faster than Jack, it grabbed a bunch of rats by their tails and swung the bodies hard against the rock wall. The animals squeaked once as their heads smashed into pulp, and the mutie walked away humming. Ryan watched until the runt was gone from sight.
Just a cook.
Those tufts must be feelers, so they don't slam their heads on the sloping tunnels.
We got food, and if they have stone knives, there's nothing else here to steal. Let's go.
As they headed along the wall, a runt staggered out of the darkness, barely able to stay on his feet. Going to the wall, he lifted his loincloth, and they heard a splashing sound. Sighing in relief, the mutie completed urinating and started back the way he had come, then turned abruptly and headed for the rat farm. The companions tried to duck out of his way, but the runt was too fast, and he gasped at the sight of the norms hidden in the wall shadows. Drawing a dagger, he inhaled for a scream, and Ryan moved like a panther, crossing the few yards in a heartbeat. Violently, he slammed a fist into the mutie's face to the sound of shattering bones. The runt flailed its arms and dropped limply to the ground. Moving past the corpse, the companions jumped over the wall and started across the open plain when an odd noise in the air above made them spin, braced for an attack. Unexpectedly, a net dropped from the sky, entangling their limbs and weapons. A female runt called out loudly, advancing into view.
Two legs! Live two legs here!
Shoving her weapon against the rope strands, Mildred fired the crossbow. The homemade arrow took the mutie in the throat, and the runt backed away, gasping for air as blood trickled down her chest. A knife in each hand, Jack slashed wildly, the net parting at every touch of his blades. Soon the companions shrugged off the last few pieces of the restraints. Darting to the stalagmites, the companions paused to take stock of any wounds and see if there was any pursuit. Nobody was running after them, but in the vill, Arunt climbed on top of the temple and raised something small to its mouth. Ryan swung his blaster around in case the blowgun was pointed at them,